Welcome to Kingstead Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. And wherever you're listening from, we believe God's word will impact your everyday life.
Praise Jesus, Kingstead Church. The Lord is calling us to a higher level of leadership. And my prayer is that in the next 2 weeks, as we go through the sermon series on leadership, that the Lord indeed shines his light on how we lead, gives us a revelation of why we are leading, and enables us to be the leaders he's called us to be as individuals, as a ministry, in our ministries, in our marketplace assignments, and as KTC in this nation, because we have KTC around different cities. So leadership dynamics is what we're going to share and learn together. And I think I like to put out a caveat, even as I share, I am also learning a lot of what I'm also sharing. So as the Lord is refining you in your area of leadership, he's also refining and preparing me. So I don't stand as an expert, I stand as a student of God. So in this season, especially as we see what's happening around the world, there's so many different things that have distorted what we know to be as leadership. We've seen leadership distorted in the body of Christ. Many have been disappointed by either leaders you've looked up to, global leaders, local leaders, who in one way or another have fallen short in their area of leadership. And we've also seen, even in our nation and in nations around the world, how even governmental leaders have failed either their people, their citizens, or their nation. And some of us have even been failed by leaders who've led us in the marketplace or in the places that we work, or leaders in our family. So there's a lot of things challenging leadership. And before we go into what God's view of leadership is, I wanted to take the opportunity just to for us to understand or discuss what is leadership. So many times leadership is referred to or tied to a title, you know, or a position or seniority or ranking. So some of you even sitting there probably thinking, okay, great, leadership, but I'm not a leader. I want to learn how to be a leader. But the surprise is leadership is not a title. And I think the news today is all of you, all of us are leaders. So let us first look at the dictionary definition of leadership. And one of the dictionary definitions is that it's an action of leading a group of people or an organization. So leadership is the ability of an individual or a group of people to influence and guide followers or members of an organization, society, team, or even home. But my favorite definition of leadership is that it is the ability to influence and motivate others into action to fulfill a purpose, their purpose, a task, or an assignment. So in summary and in a nutshell, leadership is influence. And we see this example in our Lord and our Savior Jesus, who influenced more people than any man on earth that has ever lived. So that is leadership. Now, what is a leader? So leaders are individuals like you or I who guide, inspire, influence others towards a shared vision. So leaders embody traits like integrity, empathy, and many others which we'll look into as we go through today. So they not only set a direction, but they also foster collaboration. So leadership isn't about a one-man show. It's also about empowering others and collaborating with them in achieving a particular goal. Now, there are many types of leaders. So you have leaders in business, you have leaders in government, you have leaders in the home. Some of us are leaders in the home or in a family. You have leaders in a church or in a community. But each of you is a leader. So nobody should be sitting there thinking, I have a leader, I'm not a leader. Each of you is a leader in one respect or another. Now, it has been proven that organizations, families, nations, societies, even churches and individuals grow and succeed or fail due to good or bad leadership. So we've seen cases where, you know, you've seen families where maybe there was some dysfunction or maybe there was bad leadership, and you've seen how it's either wounded those who are within the family, the children, or there's a dysfunction, there's disorganization. Same thing in organizations, either where we've worked, even in our communities, where we see bad leadership, it's very evident. Where we see good leadership, you see whole people, people who are confident, people who know who they are. Now, let's start with the genesis, the origin of leadership, where it all started, of course, through the Bible, which is our manual for life. Let's go back to the beginning and the genesis of good leadership. What was God's original intent? So we look at first Genesis, thank you, 1:28. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it." And what does that mean, subduing it? It means using all of its vast resources in the service of God and of man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. So we see that from the time that God created man in his image and in his likeness, the Lord mandated, planned, blessed man with the gift of leadership. And we can see that there, to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves, you have to be a leader, because that's what dominion is. And remember, this blessing, so it's actually a blessing, a gift, was not given to one person, was not given to some people, was not given to a different level. It was given to all mankind. So the pattern and DNA after which we are created is God's DNA of leadership. So in that respect, every human possesses the capacity of being a leader. We all have the instinct of leadership in us, but for some of us, because of the background, maybe the environments that we've grown up in, maybe different circumstances, that has been warped or that has been dulled, and we don't believe or we don't see ourselves as a leader. And God wants to redeem that. He wants to restore the spirit of leadership in us all so that we can take our positions in the marketplace, in the society, in family, in community, as kingdom believers, that his kingdom may come on earth as it already is written in heaven concerning us. But he's counting on each one of us as leaders. That's why he made us. That's why he multiplied us. And that's why he called and chose us. And that's why we're born again, saved and redeemed, because he now sends us out as leaders. So he wants to restore our mindset, our hearts as leaders. Dr. Miles Monroe, who I quote quite a bit because he is my role model in the area of leadership. And that's because up until his death, we didn't hear of, and up until now, since he died and up until now, any scandal, taint on his life, on his principles, and on his family. So I really do see him as a true kingdom leader whose heart was after God and who patterned his leadership after the word of God and after the Bible. And what he says is that trapped in every follower is a hidden leader. And why trapped? Because some don't know. Some's visions have been oppressed, you know, maybe by words that were spoken to you or by situations, circumstances, or maybe you just didn't know, you know, ignorance. So leadership is important. Effective leadership is actually crucial. I think we've all been in situations where you had a bad leader and how that left you. You remember that. We see how even in our community, our nation, our society, where there are bad leaders. I was reading about Singapore, which actually, before independence of Tanzania, Singapore was much poorer than we were. But when you look at where it is now, a first world nation, you know, and it's really because of leadership. And every individual in that nation sees themselves as a leader, accountable to the progress of their nation. So God wants to raise leaders he can trust, who will make a difference in our nation, Tanzania, in our church. If each of us had that spirit, that leadership mentality, the vision and purpose of Kingstart would run faster. But if we all see ourselves only as followers, then it just takes a lot longer. So God uses leaders to execute his purposes. He calls all of us to lead in some way, one way or another, whether it's in business, whether it's in the place that you are employed, no matter how big or small you see your role as, even in that sphere, he calls you and desires for you to be a leader. Maybe it's in your family, with your siblings. And the word of God says he places the lonely in a family for a purpose. That lonely is a leader to see God's purpose prevail in that family. And even in our communities. So he actually provides a framework through his word and through different examples in the Bible for how we can lead effectively where we are called. So some people, and that's a warped view of leadership, we see that people see or view leadership as popularity. So when you see somebody is popular, we think, oh, they're a leader. Or we see somebody who's successful or really known. But that's not the case. Leadership for you and I is actually a privilege, because remember, it's a blessing. Not everybody has that blessing of understanding and knowing that there is the spirit of leadership from God our Father. So it's a privilege that God bestows on his people, and leaders are to use these privileges and our positions to create solutions and to influence. Because as you create solutions, you influence. And when I use these words, it doesn't mean in huge, big ways I have to go and change the city overnight. Whatever space and place you're put in, you're supposed to be. You who's created in God's image and his likeness, you're patterned after his DNA, are supposed to be a solution provider because you are a leader. And you're supposed to influence and influence positively, whether it's influencing your friends, whether it's influencing your neighbors. We need to ask ourselves, how am I influencing? What solution have I given to my employer that has resulted in a positive change in that place? What solution in my family? What solution in my business? What solution to the people I lead? How am I influencing them positively? And all this requires responsibility and accountability. Now, the greatest leader of all, born to mankind, is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Not Jesus, because there are many Jesuses, even today. But Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, who left a legacy that still goes on today. So we hear and we know of different philosophers like Socrates. If we've heard of Socrates, great philosopher who taught for 40 years. Then we have Plato, who taught philosophy for 50 years and quoted in a lot of, if you're studying philosophy at university or if you studied whether psychology, I mean, all these men, their philosophies are quoted and referred to. Aristotle, who taught for 40 years. So the total of their teaching and their great philosophies was 130 years of teaching. Yet Jesus Christ of Nazareth taught for 3 years only, and his words have been taught and passed on for much more than these three great philosophers. Jesus was the greatest influencer that ever lived, and he was not just a leader, but he was a transformational leader. And that's the type of leadership or leader we should aim to be. That's the type of leader God is calling us, KTC, to be. KTC as an institution, but KTC as individuals, transformational leaders that make a difference in the lives of the people that are in our sphere of influence, whether it's your family, whether it's your workplace. How are lives being transformed because you're there? Because the truth of Christ is in you. The light of Christ is in you. We must be leaders of self. Just like Jesus Christ, he was a leader of self. We saw how disciplined he was, how principled he was. We saw how he prayed, how he fasted. So he was a leader of self. And before we can be leaders of others, we must first be leaders of self. responsible to ourselves, accountable to ourselves, self-control, self-discipline. Now, I'm speaking to myself as well. And this leader of self never ends. So even as you graduate and as the Lord trusts you now with leading others, whether it's in your family, in your business, in the marketplace, you're still continuously developing and improving yourself. Nobody ever gets there and it's like, I've landed, I've conquered developing self, I'm now leading others. It's a continuous process. You're continuously improving yourself. You're continuously working on your weaknesses. You're continuously broken and submitted before God that He can build you and make you better each and every day. So it's a process of becoming. Then we lead others. And even as we lead others, we lead through the lens and through the example of Jesus Christ. And as we graduate from leading others, we now move to leading organizations, whether our organizations or other people's organizations. And in each of those steps, we need to be faithful. So we may run to start leading our own organization and we haven't mastered or the art of leading self. Your organization will crumble. Or what will happen is it will always stay a certain level. So even as you're leading your own organization, even as you're leading others, you must continuously be working on leadership of self. Now, one of the principles of leadership is preparation and process. So yes, leadership is important, but it's not developed overnight. It's a process. It's a process, and different principles are necessary to make us good leaders, and we'll touch on some of them. So God must work in us before He can ever do a work through you. And for that to happen, we have to be submitted to Him. We have to be true to self. We have to be self-aware. We have to know what our weaknesses are. So God is preparing our individual identity, our character, and He's calling us such that we can match the assignment that He has for us. So we see Joseph in the Bible. We know the story of Joseph, who had this great dream when he was a young boy, shared it with his brothers. I think he thought overnight or in that same year, he'd be able to accomplish the vision or the dream that he saw. But God also knew that within this boy, who's supposed to be a leader of the nations and of the world, there was a spoilt brat. So we saw the process that Joseph had to go through. And I have to say and admit and confess that I see so much of the traits and the cycles of Joseph, even in my life, when I look back in hindsight. You know, the Lord will take you through a certain season in life and you think, yes, you know, you can imagine after he had the dream, you know, and then what? I'm in the pit. You know, it's like, this is not aligning. God, what is happening? But the Lord was trying to work on him and work on his character and get the pride and get the spoiled brat out of him. And you can imagine if when he was in the pit, if he continued to even fight just that process of the pit, he would have never gotten out, because it's by succumbing to it that he allowed he allowed them to pull him out of the pit. And then he ends up in Potiphar's house and he's thinking, wonderful, great favor. I'm blessed. And I've seen this happen to me as well. Even as I've grown through the corporate ladder, you know, maybe led big multinational organizations and done projects where you're thinking, I mean, it's great. Then the next month, after you've maybe even won an award, and it did happen to me, you know, you've won an award and yes, you're praising the Lord and thinking, God, how good you are. And then the next day, a total disaster that puts a question on your performance, a question on if, you know, you really deserve that award. And it's basically dying to self. And that's what God does as He's creating leaders out of us. He squeezes us, He presses us, He shapes us, He disciplines us, He fashions us, He trains us, He refines us such that He can stretch our muscle. You know, you can imagine him now from Potiphar's house. He did the right thing in running away from Potiphar's wife. And he ends up in prison for doing the right thing. I mean, you know, how much can it get? But God was still trying to just get the pride, prepare him for an even bigger and greater leadership role and position. So Jesus as well went through process. Preparation, more so to say. He was prepared for 30 years. I think in the 30 years, we only saw Jesus once, and that's when he was 12 years, when he was teaching in the temple. And after that, we don't hear him again. He was being prepared 30 years for a ministry of 3.5 years, 3.5 years. So if Jesus could go through preparation, let's not be in a rush. Let's submit to the places, the spaces, the leaders that God has to. Even if your vision is grand, it's great, just like Joseph, but be patient. Let the Lord prepare you so that, one, you don't mess it up when you get there because you missed a step, you missed a lesson. You know, maybe your muscle wasn't strong enough. But many of us today, we want to rush, we want to run. So even in the workplace, you know, you're employed today. Yes, I'm so gifted, I'm so talented, I'm great at doing this. Today, now you want to be the leader. Or this salary is too little for me. I should be earning maybe the salary of somebody who had like 10 years experience. But what you need to know, everybody started somewhere. Nobody woke up today out of university and they were a senior manager. So why you? And God can give you that position, but he loves you too much. He loves you too much to want to throw you in the lion's den. He knows that there's certain characters he needs to work on. There's certain, first of all, even that salary that you want, he needs you to first be faithful with this little. Can you be faithful with the little? Then he will then trust you with more. So it's a process. It's a process. Otherwise, we've seen what happened to people who overnight, overnight millionaires. Those people who win the lottery, it never lasts. It never lasts. So let's submit to the process of preparation as leaders. And let's be patient. So I ask you, what do you think God is preparing you for? As you look at the leadership role you have now, no matter how small or big it is, and where you want to go. Ask yourself that question over the next 2 weeks. And for you to come to that answer as a leader, because remember I've said we're all leaders, it requires a deep, intimate relationship with God. We grow in our leadership the more we press in, the more we press into him in that secret place, the more he reveals to us who we are. The more he reveals to us what leader he's calling us to be, the more he reveals to us what our weaknesses are. So maybe he's calling you to a leadership position of governance. He starts to reveal to you, these are the things you need to work on. Some of us, even as KTC, and I didn't say this in the first service, but I must say this, that when we're in the marketplace, people see and know. People always ask, anatoka kanisa gani? So you don't want for your pastors, especially when the question is asked and you're like, KTC. Why? Maybe because that's the person with the bad attitude. That's the person who, you know, you've left a room or a meeting. They've left bottles. Wanaamka tu wanaondoka. That's not a leader. A leader is also responsible for their environment. A leader leaves a place better than they found it. So let it start even in the house. Let it start anytime you go places, even if it's in the toilet. Did you find it? You've left water. Where went your memwaga maji? And you walk out. Who's to clean it? You're a leader. You must leave it better. And my dad always used to tell us that. Better than you found it. That's a leader. So even in the workplaces, even in your family, even in your businesses, even with the people you interact, leave them better than you found them. And this calls for regular prayer. Regular prayer. Jesus, who is our pattern, our master, our Lord, regularly withdrew to pray before starting his day. He never attempted any assignment without prayer. So as leaders as well, sometimes because of pressure, you have to make a decision, or we're excited about an opportunity, or you're about to make a hire, or you're about to take a job. Let us remember to take a step back and do what our Lord and Savior did, and to pray and to seek his guidance and to seek his will, because not everything good is God. So why wait to enter the fire when, if in the secret place, he can reveal to you that no, that is great, the salary is great. And it's happened to me before. You know, I've had opportunities where, my goodness, maybe the job I was in, the salary wasn't that great. In fact, I've taken a step back. then this opportunity comes in this organization. You know, you get a car, huge VX with a driver, the salary, you know, exposure. And everybody was like, take it. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Take it. You've school fees to pay. I mean, in fact, it's glorifying God. You're going from, you know, even higher. But every time I thought about it, it just didn't resonate with my core. The nature of the organization and what the organization did just, yes, it's good. Yes, there are Christians working there. But for me, it did not resonate with my core. So yes, it was good. But for me, it was not God. So as leaders, you must also know what is your cause, your non-negotiables. What are your core values? And remember, everybody's core value will be different. Of course, there's the core values on faith. That's the same. But there's some things that are important to me because of who God has called me to be or is calling me to be. I cannot do. It's okay for the next person. So you need to ask God, what is the pattern of life He's calling you to live as a leader? And that can only come from that deep relationship with Him. Otherwise, you'll sabotage your destiny or you'll abort it. So leaders must have vision. Now, what is vision? It's the art of seeing the invisible. So vision is, you have to first know your purpose. So even that takes prayer, because everybody was born for a purpose, for a purpose. So if we're busy doing other good things, but it's not the purpose, you get to heaven, you'll see the book of life written concerning you, and you'll be like, who was that? You know, the pages have been, you were so busy, and I speak to myself as well, doing other things, but not that which was written concerning you in the book of life. And for you to know, as a leader, we must press in and seek God, because only He can reveal things to you about you. Nobody else can. So what vision gives you, it's sight, and it's a function of the heart. Vision is not a function of the eyes. It's not seeing with your physical eyes. And maybe we want to see Matthew 13, I think 13 to 17, where Jesus shows the difference between sight. He says, there's a reason that I speak to them in parables, because having the power of seeing, they do not see. Having the power of hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand and grasp. Nor do they grasp and understand. So sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is of the heart. Vision is you envisioning or seeing in pictures the manifestation of your purpose. That's why it's important. You can't have vision if you don't know your purpose. And the only place to discover and find purpose is from God, because He's your maker. Right? So leaders must have vision, because if a leader doesn't have vision, where are you leading the people? Because vision gives you the destination. Destination is the address. That's where we're going. And then that will show now the path. This is how we're going to get there. So if a leader, and haven't you seen families, homes, organizations, even me who's just starting up a new organization, and we're just getting clarity from divine downloads on the clarity of the vision. There are times I can see this, there's this disorder because there's no clarity of vision. So as a leader, you must have vision. You must know where you're going, because people need to know, where are we going? Who are they? You know, they're following you. All great leaders, Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, JF Kennedy, they all had a vision of the world they hoped to create. Through their leadership. Jesus was as clear to the vision, also very clear of the vision of His mission. We see this in John 18, 37. Pilate said to Him, John 18, 37, "Then you are a king," Jesus answered, "You say it. You speak correctly, for I am a king." So that's identity. He knew his identity and was confident about it. "Certainly I am a king. This is why I was born, and for this I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth, who is a friend of the truth, who belongs to the truth, hears and listens to my voice. So we can see he was very clear, even to his persecutor, I know. So that means he wasn't afraid. So if you know your purpose, you know your vision, you know your identity, even when you come under pressure, people are questioning it, you will not falter because you're clear. This is who God said I am. We also see in Luke 4, 18 to 19, when he speaks in the temple, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to do what? So this is his mission, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He sent me. So he knows why what he's been sent to do, to announce, release the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. And because Christ Jesus is in us, we're patterned after his DNA. That is also our mission. So the leader, I said, must have clear vision and clear direction so that you can motivate those that you are leading towards a common goal. And if you don't have vision, vision is important because vision is the source of discipline. Can we turn to Proverbs 29:18, which shows us why is vision important for us as leaders? And it says, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. And I'll stop there. So where there is no vision to think about, in other words, people perish. So we've seen sometimes even disorderly children, disorderly families, because they don't have a vision. So as leaders, we also need to have a vision for our family, a vision for our children, a vision for those who are single, vision for your marriage, those who are married, vision for your family and for your marriage, vision for your company, vision for, you need to have a vision for every aspect, vision for your career, for every aspect of your life, because the word perish means to throw off restraint. It means to lose discipline. So basically it means that where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. They are indisciplined. So it doesn't mean to die. It just means that where there is no vision, then there is no self-discipline. So true leaders don't seek followers. The followers actually follow passion. And I give even the example of the leaders that we have over KTC, Pastor Nsia, Bishop Fred. I don't think any of them forced you to or told you, come follow me. You were inspired and motivated by the vision because they are visionary leaders. And so was Jesus Christ. And that's why even when he spoke to the 12, none of them thought twice. They left all that they were doing and followed. Then he had the 72. Then there was the 120. And then there was the 500. And then there were the multitudes. All of these were following and motivated by the vision. So know your purpose. And in knowing your purpose, you will gain sight and direction. You'll see the destination where you're leading, the people that you're leading. And the self-discovery of your inherent leadership potential, you will get through a clear understanding, because all of us have a leadership potential. So for you to understand that potential, you get it through understanding who you are and what you are meant to be. And then you can fulfill your purpose as a leader. To be a leader, another key principle is you have to be a follower. So every leader is following somebody. If you cannot follow, then you are not qualified to lead. Nobody is like, oh, I don't want to submit to, and you can't choose your leaders. God chooses your leaders. We don't choose our families. We don't choose our parents. We don't choose who's going to be our boss. You don't choose who's going. God chooses them. So we cannot say, I can't follow this person. I want to follow this person. Then you're not qualified to be a leader. Because if you can't submit under the leadership or follow others, how do you expect others to follow you? If you can't support and serve another person's vision, why should other people serve yours? Now, I remember case in point of over the years, I've always been one who, I think in what I'd like to say, my calling as either a destiny helper, so helping people fulfill their destinies, was always serving other people's visions, always, always. And I'd have people say to me, but now it's enough, surely. Why don't you do your own? When are you going to do your own? But I had the conviction that I was doing what God wanted me to do. And I learned and still have learned. And I'm still, even now, submitting under the leadership of KTC and even other leaders. Because you never outgrow following, because you learn. We must submit first and foremost to Christ Jesus, through his bride, the church, because he is the head over the church. So as we submit to the church, we submit to him. But then even in the marketplaces that we're called to. So if at all you have attitude or you have, we need to check ourselves. We need to check ourselves and allow. And following is hard. Huh? Sometimes you're following a leader who is not easy to follow. But Christ did not say it's about this is a nice one, this is a bad one. We submit and we follow, because one day we will also require others to follow us. We'll also require others to serve our vision. Joseph, who's always been my pattern or my role model in the Bible, was always a number two. Always. In Potiphar's house, he was leader overall, but he was a number two. Even when he was the ruler, not only of Egypt, but of the world, he was a number two. So for me, it gave me comfort to say it's okay. It's okay to serve another person's vision, because each person is called to lead in different manners. Our leadership, as we grow, even as you're at the point of leadership, will always be tested. Any position of leadership will undergo temptation. And the reason, sometimes it's the devil who tempts us. And we can see Matthew 4, 1 to 11, when Jesus was tested in the wilderness. And he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, tested, and tried by the devil. So sometimes it's the enemy who will come and tempt us. And sometimes the Lord allows it. Because who led Jesus into the desert, into the wilderness, to be tempted by the devil? The Spirit of God. But he overcame all those temptations for us, because he knew in our positions of leadership, we'll undergo the temptations of power, we'll undergo the temptations of wealth and riches, we'll undergo the temptations of sometimes trying to test God. But when we now go through the temptations, because we will, as we grow, as we get more influence, you will go through those temptations of either wanting to lord it over people or wanting more power, or maybe it's money as the Lord blesses you with wealth. But Christ Jesus overcame for us. And the only way we can overcome as we go through those temptations is to look to him. But he allows those temptations as well to stretch us, to stretch our spiritual muscle, to stretch our faith, but not for us to fall. That's why you look to him. We see Joseph in Genesis 39, verse 6. He gained leadership roles. He faced intense temptation. He was tempted aggressively by Potiphar's wife. But before he was tempted, he had already made a commitment of honor and integrity. So here's the thing. You don't make that commitment when the temptation comes. It already needs to be part of your DNA, part of your character, right? That these are things I will not do. These are things that I, because if you wait till the temptation comes, it's too late. And another lesson that I learned from different either trials and temptations as you grow in leadership, and especially as you grow as a Christian, there's that temptation to now almost be confident in yourself. Because you know you're the Christian. After all, I know the word. Ah, no, 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 no. I won't get tempted in that situation. No, I mean, I know better. That is a pride. And you can only rely on the Holy Spirit. You can only rely on the Holy Spirit, because the flesh is weak. So to all the young people out there, there will be testing. But don't wait for the testing or the temptation. Sometimes the testing is in the area of money. you know, as you grow in leadership, you're doing your own business, you know, somebody will want you to give them 10%, then they'll give you that 10, and you need the job, you need the money, what do you do? But you have to have already decided before that to make that decision. Leadership, ladies and gentlemen, KTC is not a democracy. As a leader, as you lead your teams, as you lead in the family, as you see, you have a father, we know we have Christ Jesus, right? We know we have a leader of the house in KTC. In the companies you work with, you have a leader. The leader has to have authority. And we need to submit to that and follow. The moment you start having two visions, the leader has said, it is this, you now also come with your vision. That's what you call division. And that's what starts to cause a splitting. So may the Lord help us to not be those who if you're in a place and you question the vision, then maybe it's not the place for you. Maybe it's better than being the person who starts to try and add your vision. It's better to move to another place if it's an organization and a company. Unfortunately, with your family, you cannot do that. And I think that's why God gave us families we cannot leave, because he knows we must submit. So yes, you'll run, but the same issue of lack of submission to leadership, you'll find it in the next place you go. So it's important that we can't run away from it. We must just learn it. And you, who's a leader, cannot lead always by democracy. There's times that you lead by collaboration, but there's times where you have to make the decision. You have to be the one to say, this is the way that we are going. Love. As leaders, we must lead through the lens and through the eyes of love. And because God is love. 1 John 4:8. Sorry. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. We also see this, and this emphasizes the power and the influence of love, the love of God. We can't overemphasize it. As in leading, as we lead others, it's actually probably one of the most important things. And let us look at 1 Corinthians 13, just verse 1, and then we'll go 4 to 8. Because Paul famously wrote about the transformational nature of love and how it's greater than any spiritual gifts. He said, if I can speak in tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, which is that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Can we jump to verse 4:8? So what then is love? As we lead, whether it's our siblings, whether it's those who work for us in our houses, whether it's those in our companies, love endures long. Now, this is easier said than done. Especially when you have, for example, situations where maybe, you know, you've given this person one chance, you've given them three, you've given them four. Now you just want to say, time is up. Just move. But the Bible calls us to endure, to endure. And sometimes it will cost you. It will cost you. It'll cost. It's actually sacrificial. It is patient. And those two go hand in hand. You've got to be patient with people, with people's weaknesses, knowing that we also have weaknesses, that everybody, including us, is a work in progress. That doesn't mean we don't discipline. That doesn't mean we don't love or we don't give tough love. But even when we give tough love, we've got to be kind so that you leave people with their dignity. Love is never envious, nor boils over with jealousy. It is not boastful or vainglorious. And we need to be watchful because we're all leaders. And even as God elevates us as KTC in the marketplace, we should not boast or lord it over others or even in your businesses. It does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. And I like to say that sometimes, even as Christians and believers, we have what you call humble pride. So you're feeling like I'm not proud. Like in ndani unajua kwamba unajisifu sifu, you know. So let the Holy Spirit root that out of us. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, doesn't insist in its own rights. Gen Z. I know we like to have our own rights. And yes, you do have your own rights. I think it's important because you're self-aware. But love is humble to the extent that you're not, you don't have a sense of entitlement, right? You don't seek your own way. Even in relationships, for those who are married, opinions, you know, it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy. Today you're happy, tomorrow menuna, you know, so your boss doesn't know which way you are. For those who are married, your husband, you know, because you're just touchy, or somebody gives you feedback for something, umenuna, you see. So it's not touchy or fretful or resentful, and it takes no account of evil done to it. So you don't forgive, then you say, I've forgiven, lakini I still remember what they did to me. It gives no account of evil. You forgive and you forget. You let go. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness. So even when there are people who we know, yani huyo, in fact, you see, that's the wrong thing. You shouldn't say like, we know. They actually deserve to go through that. And in a way, you're prayerfully happy for them. You're praying for them, like you're thinking. So, you know, it doesn't rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. So even those who it looks like, yes, they did the wrong thing, but they're redeemed and they're restored. That's when we rejoice. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. And I think this, I speak to those who you've been maybe disappointed by people, you've been wounded by people, and you tend to find that that now forms the lens in which you now relate with others. Because this person hurt you in that way, you meet somebody else, you react a certain way because you're expecting that that's going to be the same, you know, it's the same thing. Or you're expecting the same thing to recur. But believe the best. Believe the best. Just always believe the best, that this person's intention is the best. That's love. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. And that's how we know true love. So those ones of, yeah, I fell in love. What do you mean you fell in love? And then, oh, I don't love them anymore. You hear that a lot, especially in the world. Love never fails, irrespective of what the person has done. But as for prophecy, the gifts of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and seized. And this is where we'll end. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value. So as leaders, we need to embrace and lead through 1 Corinthians 13. Love is central to Christianity and every Christian. And any Christian leader should be driven in his or her life by the love of God. And then integrity. Good leaders and godly leaders practice and value integrity. Think of integrity as the solid bedrock upon which your reputation is built. So it's just like a house with a shaky foundation. It's bound to crumble. And a leader lacking integrity will eventually lose trust and credibility. And what is integrity? Integrity means doing the right thing, even when no one is watching. Even when no one is in the office, if you're supposed to come to work, whether it's 9, whether it's 10, 8:30, the boss is not there, you are there. That is integrity, even when nobody is watching. It's just you and that particular maybe supplier in the room. So nobody will know that they gave me, you know, I took a 10%. Even my bosses won't know. After all, it's increase, right? The Lord has blessed me and it's nothing wrong. I gave them the work. So I gave them the work. But it's integrity. It's doing the right thing even when no one is watching. You're tempted. Maybe you're the only one in the office. Instead of working, you know, you're doing your own things because it's just me. So it's being faithful with the resources, even when nobody is watching. It involves being transparent, truthful, and morally upright in all actions and decisions. When leaders prioritize integrity, it sets an example even for those that they're leading. The principle of integrity reminds us that leadership, it's not only about achieving goals. It's about doing so with honor and integrity. And let's look at Proverbs 11:3. That states, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the willful contrariness and crookedness of the treacherous shall destroy them. If we can also look at Psalms 25, 21, which for me has always been almost a motto in the journey of leadership in different organizations. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, O Lord, for I wait for and expect for you. Because like I said earlier, as a leader, you will go through testing, you go through trials, you go through temptations, you go through false accusations. But if you know that you know that you know that you have been living and walking with integrity, then that's what will preserve you. I mean, I had examples, for example, when I had a leadership position in one of the banks, and I had a C-suite role, and the role that I had, given the position I had, dealt with lots of money because I was in marketing, so million of dollars. But for some reason, because everybody who is marketing, it's known in the marketplace, and I took away the 10%. So everybody expected and thought that definitely I have. But they poked holes everywhere. They went, they asked our suppliers and they're like, no, but they thought maybe I've paid them to say no. So what did they do? There was what you call a whistleblow in banks. It's where you report anonymously that this person has done X, Y, Z. So my CEO calls me and there's like, there's a whistleblow. I'm like, a whistleblow? So, and this whistleblow didn't only remain locally, they sent it to the group. So you can imagine that embarrassment and shame. I mean, here you are, you're doing well, but you're thinking, goodness, you know, what are they going to think of me? So obviously they let me see the report on what had been said. When I saw it, I had such peace. I stopped to panic. Because I was like, accusing me of either hungering or you know, giving people business, I had such peace. Because I knew if you look anywhere in the marketplace, 25 years of experience, there is not one person that will tell you, wamini honga. Au nimewa honga. I knew, like I know, so I had peace. So this verse kept coming to me when I saw that report. Let integrity, so I can't defend myself, Lord, but let integrity and uprightness preserve me. So that should be our mantra as leaders, because it will preserve you even when false accusations, because the wicked will try, especially if they see you as a believer and you're succeeding, they'll try and find something. We saw what happened to Daniel, right? When these guys saw, no, this guy is too good, they went to the king Nebuchadnezzar and said, put out a law, because they knew this guy has to pray 3 times a day, but they were trying to trap him. But let integrity and uprightness preserve you. Leaders accept correction and discipline, not only for themselves, but they give it to those that they are leading. And because of time, leaders have discernment, leaders sacrifice, like Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. I mean, what more example do we have? So we sacrifice, we give our lives for those that we're leading, for those that we're serving. And leading is not always convenient. Sometimes you will be called, it's just not convenient. Even me standing here today. But you know what? With leadership comes responsibility. With leadership comes what? Accountability. With leadership comes what? Even doing things that are outside your comfort zone. Things, and that's also love. Love is never convenient. It's resisting the popular opinion. The godly leader is to call people to increase their faith in God, and not to appeal to the mood of times. And we see this in Numbers, with Joshua. You know, when Moses sent them out, the 12 spies, to spy out the land, and he told them to come back with a report, and everybody came back with a bad report but Joshua and Caleb. Irrespective of, and because of time, we won't go through the scripture, but irrespective of, if you remember, even in the scripture, the others actually wanted to stone them for giving a good report. So it's standing for what is right, irrespective of popular opinion. A godly leader leads God's way. So many times, and it's okay to have our way because God has given us ideas, has given us a sound mind, but we must submit whatever plans he's given us back to him. Because Isaiah 55:8, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, which means he knows we have our thoughts. Neither, Isaiah 55:8, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. So he knows we have our ways. But what we must do is submit these ways back to him so that he can align them to his thoughts for us and his ways for us. If we look at Psalms 32 verse 8, as a godly leader submitting to leading God's way, he says, I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. So whether it's for your business, whether it's a new job opportunity, whether you're leading in family, whether you need to make a decision, we need to just go back to him, because he, not only will he teach, but he will also instruct. An instruction calls for obedience, because an instruction is different to a teaching. So it means that he will instruct, he will say, this is it, but he will also teach, showing us how to do what he has instructed. He will counsel us with his own eye. A godly leader is courageous. And we see the story of David. If we can just go to 1 Samuel 7, 17, 25 to 27. And this was David when he was still a boy, not yet a king. And Goliath was terrorizing the Israelites. And I think the point here is that every leader will face a Goliath, and that's why you need to be courageous. We will all face a Goliath. So what do we do? Do we run away from the Goliaths, or do we conquer them? Because that gives the platform to our next elevation, just like it did for David. So don't run away from your Goliaths. Face them, but not with your own strength. As we read what David did, from verse 25, and the Israelites said, have you seen this man who has come out? Surely he has come out to defy Israel, and the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free from taxes and services in Israel. And David said to the men standing by him, remember, he was a young boy, and these are, you know, experienced soldiers, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the last one, and the men told him, thus shall it be done for the man who kills him. So David was confident in his God. He did not fear that this Philistine was much bigger than him. He was a giant, and we will not read because of time. In verse 44 to 46, he says to Goliath, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God of ranks of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and cut you off, and will give the corpses of the army of Philistine this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. So we need to speak the word of God to our Goliaths. We need to speak to them, knowing that that Goliath is standing between you and your next level, between you and your breakthrough, between you and what God has for you. But as a leader, you don't run away. You stand, not looking at the size of the Goliath, but looking at the size of your God. So I would like to end with prayer. Many of us, like I've said, we are all leaders, but we're also followers. And through different circumstances and situations, the Lord wants to restore and repair our leadership potential. Because either because of family, because of a bad boss, we've been wounded. We've been wounded by our leaders. Some of us, we've been wounded, but not by our leaders. We've been wounded by our followers. We've been wounded by our children. We've been wounded by, those that report to us. We've been offended. And the Lord needs to heal our hearts, because we cannot lead from a position of woundedness. It will come back, and you'll find that as you lead, you're projecting that woundedness that is subtly within your inner man, which is wounded, and you've forgiven, but you don't realize that your inner man is still wounded. And the Lord wants to redeem and repair. Some of us, we need to repent. We need to repent either where we have been the ones to wound those that we are leading, or sometimes we've misled. We've misled those that we're leading, whether it's our siblings, whether it's our friends, whether it's those who are working for us. And for some of us, God wants to repair, because in the opportunity and the privilege that he's given us as leaders, and in whatever small sphere, we've made mistakes because of weaknesses that we have. Some of us, we've been unfaithful, either as a leader or unfaithful as a follower. So may we just rise and just go before the Lord, because he wants to redeem the spirit of leadership, to restore, to repair our spirits and our hearts, such that we lead from a position of authority. And sometimes even the woundedness is a gate that gives legal right for the enemy to torment you, for the enemy to even question your position of leadership. You're leading from a weak position. So let us just go before the Lord, and I'll ask the pastors just to come up in case there's anybody that wants and feels that they need healing from woundedness. Then you've been wounded by leaders. You've been wounded by followers, people that you are leading, or you just need to repent. You need to repent because you are the one who has wounded others, or you just need the Lord to repair and restore your position of leadership. Because either you've been unfaithful as a follower or as a leader. May you just lift up your voices, Sakarabo Kotaka Sakai, and whichever camp you are, just call upon the Lord, call upon the Spirit of the Lord to come and heal, to come and repair, to come and restore, to come and breathe back his original intent. The spirit of leadership in you, who is his leader, that you may lead with boldness, you may lead with integrity, rike dobro kozakataya, you may lead from a position of healing, wholeness, sikarabo kodaka bakaya, that he may forgive you where you have wounded others that you have led, or where you have wounded or been wounded by others who have led you. Rike dabra kazakataya, rede de kipro kazakaya, janta kabro zeke tabra di zekobro zeta, rada dada kabro zeka dibre zeka tabra daya, rabababababa, zeka tabro zekaya, rede de de de. Or where you have refused to submit, or where you have been a poor follower, ride kabra kaya, zete kabra kapaya, rede de 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 kibra zataya, zenta ta. Cabro zeta kaya, rede de kizaya. Heal our hearts, O God. Heal our wounded hearts, O God. Spirit of the living God, Rabodo ziketa brazetetaya. Rabababa kazakataya. Lebre dize kobrotaya. Rebebebe. Forgive us for where we have wounded. We have wounded those you've placed under us. Have mercy, O God. Rebe kabaya. Restore those broken relationships. Repair, O God. Madarike brozakataya. Rebebebe kazakataya. Rede dikabrakaya. Zetetaya. Restore our positions of leadership. Restore us as leaders, O God, in the marketplace, in the areas you've called us to lead. May we be bold and courageous. Rike dobro zekataya rabaya. Spirit of God, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of the fear of God. Lebro dize kabra dakaya. Menda ride dededaya. Take rest in us. Ride kabrakaya. Meze dikre bokakaya. Rada da 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 bozete. Mize kabra dakaya lobro zetete. Jite kabro deze kapakaya. Manda rada da daya. Where we have run away from leadership, have mercy. Have mercy, O God. Where you've looked for someone to send and we've run away, O God. Have mercy, Father. We say today, here we are. Use us, O God. Lead through us, O God. Reba katakaya. That we may draw men and women to you, O God. Rike dobro kabakaya. Zanda rebebebe, zike tabra da kakaya, zoto rebebebebe, rada da da kabro zetakaya, zenta rabababaya, melibre de kabaya. Redeem, Father God, redeem our individual positions of leadership. Rika bakataya, zete tete, where our leadership role has been oppressed, O God. Makadaya, menda radadaya, zete takaya, open our eyes to see ourselves as leaders. Leaders, O God, the leaders you have called us to be, Lord. Manda rebe kakaya, mize dobroka, transformational leaders that bring men and women into your kingdom. Ribebebekaya, that are not selfish and self-centered, O God. Mandara, forgive us, O God, where our leadership has revolved around us, O God. Mandaradadakaya, mandaradakaya, and we have not loved even the world. We've not loved those who are outside. We've not brought them in. We've not witnessed, O God. Manda rike dobro kobakaya. Zete tike tabrakaya. Manda radadadaya. Here we are your leaders, O God. Here we are a multitude of leaders, O God. Send us out into the marketplace. Send us out into Dar es Salaam. Send us out to transform our families. Ride kabraya. Send us out to transform our nation. Send us out to transform our community. Send us out to transform our marketplace and the gates, the nations to which you have called us. Rekabakaya, mandarakaya, mezekapaya, zoto kabrataya, rededekaya, menderedekaya, madararabakaya. May we lead, Lord, like eagles, O God. Mazerababaya, mandadadakaya. You are the lion and the lamb. May we lead like lions, and may we lead with the love of a lamb. Rabababakaya, meze tikrebakaya, manda dadadadaya. May we all arise.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe and share the message to your family and friends. Follow us on our social media at Kingstar Church.